Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Matthew. Please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 23.
Now, we need to stop putting legalistic trips on people too. Telling them on your job, you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't curse. Don't draw them to external requirements. Instead, draw them to Jesus first, and then he will clean them up. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Notice what it says, that they turn to God from idols. Notice that it doesn't say they turn from idols to God, because you know why? Because they can't do that. If they can turn from their idol worshiping to the true and living God, then guess what? There is no need for Jesus to come and die for us, because we can do it ourselves. We can be righteous on our own. Notice it said they turn to God. And when they turn to God, God got rid of the idols out of their lives. It wasn't the other way around. So often we tell people, don't smoke, don't drink, don't curse. We're telling them, hey, turn from your idols to God. They can't do that. We need to draw them to Jesus first. Jesus will get rid of the idols out of their lives. He will. He will get rid of them. And so this is what we need to be pointing people to. Let's not draw people to a religion of works, but to a relationship of faith and grace in Jesus Christ. Look at verses 16 to 22. Woe to you blind guys who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and all that is on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, these religious leaders, they developed a method of perverting the truth for their own selfish gain. See, what they taught was, if you swore by the gold of the temple or by the gift that is on the altar, it is binding. You must keep your word. But when it came to them, they would say, well, you know, I didn't swear by the gold or the temple. I just swore by the temple. I just said, I swear by that temple over there. So I really don't have to keep that. I don't have to keep my word, because you didn't hear me say I swore by the gold or the temple. Whoa, you don't know. I would have to keep my word if I said that. But I swear by the temple over there. So I don't really have to keep my word. Jesus said, you blind guys, what are you hypocrite? What are you doing? And he nailed them for this sort of way, how they will manipulate the truth for their selfish materialistic gain. And let us not manipulate the truth by using spiritual terminology in order for us to not keep our word. For example, hey, can you come over and meet us over here today? And you say, well, let me pray about it. And then they're like, man, I thought you were showing up. Well, you know, the Lord wasn't leading me to do that. You knew right then and there you didn't want to come. You didn't want to go. You knew right then and there. Just say, you know what? You know, it's been a long week. I'm just tired. I'm just not going to be able to make it. And you see how simple that is? Just, you know, and you don't have to use terminology. Hey, man, what happened to you? I thought you were showing up. Well, you know, the Lord just wasn't in me doing that today. Why do we do that and use all this spiritual jargon to not keep our, and we get all, and see, this is for those who've been Christian a little bit long. You got the Christianese down and the language, you know, all the Christian terminology, how to, you know, and put it all on the Lord. Well, we put all kind of stuff on the Lord, where the Lord wasn't leading, or the Lord, it just wasn't in me doing that. Stop. You knew right then and there. Just say, you know what? I've had some drama on the job. It's just been a long week. Whoo. Just not going to be able to make it. Okay. All right. You know, I guess somebody else to cover that. Okay. That's cool. All right. You know, maybe next time, you know. Okay. You see how simple that is? We don't have to try to use spiritual terminology, you know, to try to get out of something, to try to manipulate the truth in some kind of way. Look at verses 23 and 24. It says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guys who strain at a net and swallow a camel. Jesus was nailing these guys. Jesus was saying, you have all the details of the law down. You tithe your spices, but you're missing the big picture of love and mercy. In other words, they would tithe their spices, but would not show mercy to people. Let us not turn our children into little Pharisees by teaching them the details of legalism by following the letter of the law, but failing to teach them the spirit of the law of mercy, love, and compassion. You know you have a little Pharisee on your hands. If he's at the playground, she's at the playground. One of the kids get hurt, fall down. Ooh, mommy, oh, my knee. And your kid go up to him and say, see, if you were at church today, you wouldn't have got hurt. You know you have a little Pharisee on your hands. Instead, teach them the compassion. It's like, oh, you know, you fell. Oh, you know, let me say a little prayer. Jesus, heal that boo-boo, you know, on their leg. Then you know you've taught them love and compassion. But if you got a little Pharisee on your hands, see, if you were at church, Jesus would have protected you. You know, you got, just know you have a Pharisee. Something else I just want to show you, because so many people like to, you know, make a big issue of tithing is not in the, you know, New Testament and all this sort of stuff. Look at verse 23. It says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, these are spices, and you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy. Watch this. These you ought to have done. What? What is it that they ought to have done? Tithe without leaving the others, justice and mercy, undone. You see that? These you ought to have done. What is that they ought to have done? They were tithing of their mint and anise, but they were neglecting other things. These you ought to have done. Tithing without leaving the others, justice and mercy and faith, undone. So even Jesus said they should have tithed. They were tithing their spices, but he was saying you ought to have done that. But don't forget to show love and mercy and justice at the same time. So people who like to say, tithing is not in the New Testament. Really? Don't look like you know your Bible very well. Okay. Verses 25 to 28. Look what it says there. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were more concerned with how they looked outwardly to people. They were not concerned with what was going on inside of their hearts. But all of the external ceremonies cannot clean up inward corruption. This is what Jesus was saying. In other words, no matter how many things you outwardly do to try to appear righteous or spiritual, it can never change your heart. This is what Jesus does. He cleans us up from the inside out. See, what they were doing is this. It's like getting a cup out of the dishwasher. You look at that cup. Oh, that's a clean cup. And you get the cup and you put your beverage inside of it. And then you turn it up and see all this junk on the inside, you know, the dried onion piece, you know, that's on the side and the rice in the bottom. You're like, that's what it was. Outside, they looked good. But on the inside, they were full of all kind of junk. I mentioned this first service. One lady said, I'm going home and check my dishwasher. You know, because I've been one of those. Say, oh, that's a good cup. And as soon as I turned it up, it was big onion dried up on it. I said, are you serious? But this is what the Pharisees were. They made sure that the outside of the cup looked good and sparkling. But on the inside, it's all kind of dried up mess. And this is what they were more concerned about, how they looked on the outside. Now, look at verses 29 to 36. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in the synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Surely, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Now, in verse 33, when Jesus called them serpents and brood of vipers, the Greek word for serpent is ophis, and it's the general term for snake. But the word for viper, that's a different Greek word, and it has a stronger meaning. It was the term for a certain poisonous snake that was only in this particular region that they lived in. And they looked like a dry twig when it was still. But when you got close to it, it will just bite you. So it was not only dangerous, this viper, but it was also deceptive as well. And Jesus was also condemning them for their air of superiority, saying, if the prophets had lived in our day, we would not have killed them. But this is not true, because they were plotting to kill the very one the prophets spoke about, which is Jesus Christ. Please watch out for an air of superiority, thinking that you're better than other people, maybe because of your upbringing. Maybe you were brought up in privileged situations, maybe because of your rank or your bank account. All of a sudden you have an air. Nothing turns off those who don't know Jesus Christ faster than an air of superiority, with your nose up in the air, looking down on people. That's a turnoff. And you know, I see you. You come in, and it's almost like you float. And it's this air of superior, and the air is stinky. And you looking down on people, and it's this air about you. That stuff stinks. It smells bad. And you have this air because maybe you were brought up in suburbia, USA. I don't know. Maybe you have a certain rank, you have achieved a certain rank, or maybe because of your bank account. Let me tell you one thing, I'm very thankful. I am very thankful for the people in this church who are an example of how it should be. But let me tell you, I can smell an officer's wife a mile away. She has the air, and she comes around. My husband, you don't have to, we already know, your husband is an officer, isn't he? And I'm his wife. And it's this air, I can smell it a mile away. But one thing I'm very thankful is that the people who are here and who either retired at a high rank or they're at a present rank right now, let me tell you something. The wives here that are married to those guys, they don't have that air. I'm very thankful. If they came with the air, I would do this to their nose. Bring it back down. Bring it down here. Put it, because we ain't gonna put you in no special place, no nothing. Just bring it down here. Bring it on down. Bring it down to level 2. It ain't happening here. But I can tell you, even in the car, I can tell. They're driving by, you can see a certain woman. You can drive by and I look in the front, see the blue sticker. I said, I knew it. I knew it. Some officer's wife, thinking they got this superiority type of thing. And now, you know, because the husband commands the truth, when she comes around, she wants that same type of respect. And please, please. And I can tell that air anywhere. It's stinky. And I'm very thankful. Now, this is not because she's my wife, but my wife, she doesn't play that. You never know that she's my wife. There's some pastor's wives. Oh, you know it. Oh, you know it. It's the way she sits up front. Probably with a big 10-gallon hat. It's like, serious? For real? It's like, my wife, we don't play that sort of air kind of stuff. We don't get down like that. Because nothing turns people off more than some kind of air. Like you're better. That's why, you know, some, they in churches in suburbia, USA, and they try to come in the inner city in the hood to try to do ministry, and they bring that air. Folks in the hood, it's like, you better raise up out of here. Don't come down here with that mess. Like, you better than us. Raise up, going back to your big house on the hill up there, and don't try to come down here with that air. I've seen where that's happened before. Oh, we just want to come and serve. Really? Not like that? Uh-uh. Nothing turns people off faster than the air. It stinks. So when folks come floating in, I just look at them. I said, let me get to them just to bring that nose down. Bring it down. And it's like they float in. And like, oh, you people, let me see what you people are about here. It's like, are you serious? And we're looking at you and say, for real? For real? Serious? Nothing turns people off faster than an air of superiority. Look at verses 37 to 39. It says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as the hen gathered her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Notice he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, mentioned it twice. Did you know that every time Jesus used the name twice, it was because his heart was breaking? Oh, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Luke 22, verse 31. Oh, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Luke 10, verses 41 and 42. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Acts 9, 4. The heart of Jesus was breaking because he wanted to gather his people under his wing to protect them and shield them from danger, but he said they were not willing. Let me ask you this. Do you weep for this city? I mean, this is the city the church is in. Do you weep for the city? Do you weep for those on your job? I'm just saying, do you weep for them? And you're like, I can't stand them on my job. Do you weep for them on your job? How about your family? Do you weep for your family? Do you care about the spiritual condition of those around you? There's so often I drive around the city or I'm in the mall and walking in the mall. Sometimes I just sit and I just say, Lord, just help us to reach these people. They're lost. Help us to reach. I drive around the city, see all these cars going. I say, Lord, many of these people are lost. They don't know you. Lord, help us to reach them. Give us a heart to reach them. See, you know, I was just cracking up. I was just cracking up the other day. We were driving around and I pointed to somebody, my wife. I said, would you look at him? Before I get to that, let me just say this. This is why for me, this is why I live in Newport News. I live in Newport News because the church is in Newport News. These are my people. And I can live in other places that's nearby, but those are not my people. And I said all that to say this. We were driving the other day and my wife and I just said, look at old boy right there. I was cracking up. He had no shirt on and his belt was below his behind and his boxers was up to here and I was cracking up. And what I said was, that's my people right there. That's my people. That's my people. I go anywhere else, I be looking around and say, these are not my people. That was my people. I see folks at the bus stop, and I said, that's my people over there. There they are. These are my people. This is why I live here. These are my people. Now, here's the thing. Many of you will probably roll down the window, hey, pull up your pants and all this. So let me tell you something. When you're telling them to pull up their pants, you're telling them to turn from idols to God. You tell them, clean up yourself, clean up your life, pull up your pants. And then you try to give them something like, you know where that sagging on the pants? We're in jail. Let me tell you something. It's nothing but a fact. Leave those kids alone. They bring them to Jesus. And then Jesus will pull up their pants. That's the thing. Bring them to Jesus. Stop worrying about the clothes they got on. Are you serious? They need Jesus. Jesus will clean up and pull up their pants. Jesus will raise up her shirt up to here. Jesus would lengthen her shorts down. Jesus would do that. Don't you get into all that. Lead them to Jesus. See, when you're telling folks to pull up their pants, that, you know what? That's old fogeyitis. Letting you know you're old now. You're getting old. You forgot the 70s when we had the afro and the bell-bottom pants, and we sagged in the 70s. But you forgot that. You forgot that. And so, but you got old. It's like when Peter Pan, he forgot he was in Neverland. You know, you forgot where you used to come from. And so now you see them like, oh, look at them, pull up their pants. You're old. You're getting old. It's just a fad. It comes and goes. First it was the baggy sag. Now it's the straight, tight sag. See, it changes. Just leave them alone. It'd be something. They'd be in regular pants before you know it. And you wasted all that breath for nothing. Just leave them alone. Leave these kids alone. They need Jesus. I looked and I said, these are my folks, my people. These are my people. That's why I'm here. I'm not going to run away from it. I know pastors. I know them. And they have a church, let's say in New Purdue. They live in Chesapeake or Virginia Beach or whatever. Just for me, that's their, they can do that. That's on them. That's fine. But for me, these are my people. I know my people. I see them walking around. I just smile. Other people, they see them walking. These people, look at them. Man, I tell you, I can't wait to get out of here. We're moving, you know. Yeah, I'm going to move. You know what? I'll move right in somewhere in Newport News, though. These are still my people. These are my folks. These are my folks. And so this idea is for me. So do you weep? Do you have compassion for the people like Jesus? Do you have a compassion? You know, do you weep for your family? Do you weep for those on your job? Do you weep? Well, you always complain and say, you know, these people on the job, they stink. Man, I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to transfer. I can't wait to get some orders. You weep. Do you weep for them? Or are you always complaining about them? It lets you know you're out of touch. You're out of touch. God has you there to reach them, and you're out of touch. And you're so concerned about your problem, your situation. And we need to pray that God will warm our cold, selfish hearts. And you know, God's will, next week when we look at chapter 24, Jesus is going to tell us one of the characteristics of the last days is a cold heart. And our hearts are just so cold and selfish. All we care about is our problems, our needs, our lack of money, our drama. And we're just cold. And we need Jesus to warm our hearts. Let me conclude with this. In this chapter, we saw Jesus unmask the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. He showed how they lacked humility and sensitivity and integrity. And their religion was all external. And we need to examine our hearts this morning. And we need to examine our lives to make sure that our relationship with Christ is not all external. That we don't have a religion of a hypocrite, an actor, a pretender. And if it's the case, maybe you're just concerned about how you look in front of people. But when you get home, you just cut up and act a fool and all kind of craziness. You need to come to God in humility and brokenness. And pray that he will work on you internally first that will manifest itself externally. Jesus works on the inside out. So often we want to work on the outside and hope it changes on the inside. And that's not the case. That's not the case. What Jesus does. And we need to come in brokenness and humility. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you for loving us enough to share these things with us. You share them because you love us. And Lord, thank you for that love. And dear God, we just pray that, Lord, you will have mercy upon us because many of us are Pharisees and we're raising little Pharisees in our home, more concerned about the letter of the law than the spirit of the law. And Lord, I just pray that you would have mercy upon us. And Lord, I also pray for those who are here who may not have accepted you as their Lord and Savior. You're not the Lord of their lives. If there's anyone here, I want you to pray this simple prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross for me and was buried and rose again. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Help me to live for you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608, and receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear The Word Made Plain.